My throat became so rough. This morning, I want to concentrate on a text, John 21, Gospel according to John 21, verses 15 to 17. So when they had eaten the breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than this?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Friends, we know this story very familiar. We might have hundreds of time. But this morning, this text is provoked me to bring to the front. We know Peter was with Jesus Christ 3.5 years. And he was first in the list of disciples. He was a spokesperson or representative for the disciples group. And he is the first and the last man after Jesus Christ who walked on the sea in the world. He's the one who confessed Jesus Christ first as the Messiah, the Son of Living God. Without any slight doubt, Jesus Christ even accepted his statements and he said that one, "It is only God revealed to you. It's not any revelation from man, but only from God." And he is the one with Jesus Christ at the crucial moment of Jesus Christ's transfiguration on the mount. And he was with Jesus at the last. And he is the one, he said to Jesus, "Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble." Even further, he said, "If I have to die with you, I will never deny you." He made other disciples to say the same things to Jesus because all other disciples are following Peter than Jesus. They are counting Peter than Jesus Christ because he is the leader among the disciples. And even we can see at this story, there are 6 disciples with Peter, even though Peter was denial of Jesus Christ earlier. But we know the tragic story of Peter, denial of Jesus Christ 3 times. A strong man, the first man in the list, the man who confessed Jesus Christ as the Son of Living God and the Messiah. For him, he said, "I'm ready to die if it is needed." But the great man failed miserably. A damn failure in the life of Peter. What a warning. What a lesson. So Peter's failure and damn failure and denial of Jesus Christ is a great warning for the Christians even today. We know that when he was with Jesus, he stood with Jesus, he's walking with Jesus, he's talking with Jesus, and he's giving a lot of quotations, a lot of statements to Jesus. But he's so distant from Jesus. So far from Jesus. So far away from Jesus. He went away from Jesus while he was so close to Jesus physically. Sometimes it happens. We may have song in our mouth and we can keep sin in our hearts that keeps us distant from Jesus. It's happening with Peter here in this context. He's so close physically, but spiritually, his heart was so distant from Jesus. That's what we can see. The people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me. Matthew 15:8. Jesus said about this Pharisees, this quote, but much similar to Peter's life here. With his lips, he's praising. With his lips, he's conveying his commitment. But his heart was so distant from Jesus Christ. He's thinking that when he was close to Jesus, he's thinking that one, he's okay with Jesus. But Jesus knows that one, his heart was away from him long back. Even we can read in Matthew chapter 16:13, Jesus called Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." In Matthew 16:13, long back, before Jesus Christ could reveal his death on the cross, he warned Peter, call him as a Satan, because his mind and his heart was not with Jesus anymore. When Jesus Christ revealed about his suffering and about his death, Peter called Jesus aside and rebuking him. It should not be so. You should not be die. You should not be killed off, because you are the Messiah. You are the King, and I will become your minister under your kingship. So Jesus Christ told to Peter before he went to the Olivet Mountain, "Simon, Simon, Satan has received permission to test you, to separate the good from the bad, as farmers separate the wheat from the chaff. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, when you have returned, strengthen your brothers." The direct quotation to Peter: when you turn back, when you have returned, when you come back to me again, strengthen your brothers. When did Jesus Christ told to Peter? Before the denial or after the denial? Before. Because he turned away. He's going in his own way. He's going in his own will. He thought and he thinking that he's walking with Jesus. But he is not walking with him anymore. That's what Jesus Christ told him. When you turn back, when you come again to me, strengthen your brothers. What a tragedy, my friends. Sometimes it happens to us without our knowledge and conscience. We can have a song. We can have a praise. We can do a lot of things for Jesus Christ. But we may not be in his way. We may not be in his will. But thank God for Jesus, who can reach Peter, who could reach Peter, a failure man, a denial. Thank God for song, "Amazing Grace," that saved a wretch like me. I had turned my back time and time again in my life, yet his love for me is steadfast. I was lost, but he found me now. Jesus found Peter back and restoring him into his plan and purpose destined for him. If he could restore Peter, if he could reach Peter, a failure man, a Jude, he could reach anyone in the world, anyone in the church, anyone in the community, to bring them back to their life and to their purpose. He conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the death. Jesus conquered the hell. But he's in the business of conquering the heart of Peter and all other disciples. He could remove the stone from the tomb. He could break the seal from the tomb. And now he is in the business of removing the tomb from the hearts of the disciples, especially from the heart of Peter. And he's breaking the seal of doubt and breaking the seal of suspicion, breaking the seal of uncertainty, breaking the seal of what's happening maybe in the future. He's in the business in the life of Peter. So in this context, he came to Peter and he's asking the question, do you love me? When Jesus Christ asked this question, he was not calling Peter as a Peter, he's calling as a Simon. Simon, a reed. Peter is a rock. When he was with Jesus Christ, when he was in his faith on Jesus, he was Peter, Petros, the rock, a strong. But when Jesus Christ, after the resurrection, when he is meeting Peter along with other six disciples, he's no more Peter. He's Simon, the son of Jonah. Thank God, Jesus Christ can know how we are and we are. He never pretends to call Peter as a Peter. He's calling him as a Simon. What a great confrontation to Peter. One time even he called Peter as a Kepha, a mighty rock. But now the rock became sand. The rock became reed. Great man fallen from the throne of faith, and he's in the ditch of doubt and uncertainty. A blind man leading other blind men. He's leading. He has a leadership. He has a vision to catch the fish. But he don't have any passion for the Lord, the one who gave the purpose for his life. Self-heal, human leadership. It gave a grand failure. But Jesus Christ could meet Peter at the juncture of Peter's failure, not at the juncture of success. All the people want to have a successful life. And people prize the people who gives more success in their business, even in their church. But thank God, my Jesus, even he can meet a failure like Peter to restore him. Same Jesus, same love, same care, same feeding, giving the same fish to a failure man. A damn denial of Jesus Christ. He could call him and he could put his hand on his shoulder like that and say, Peter, do you love me? I know Peter does not have any answer because he tried his power, because same sea, same boats, same net, and there are fish even in the sea. But they could do nothing apart from Jesus. I think Peter might remind it, the verse in John 15, apart from me, you can do nothing. He thought Peter could, thought, I can do without Jesus. I can do without anything because I have net. I have my companions. I have my knowledge in fishing. I have my nets still. I have my boat still. Even I have my own sea in the Galilee. I can do. But when Jesus Christ asked, do you love me more than this? He said, yes, I love you. Because no option for Peter except loving Jesus. No option. The question is not asking any information from Peter. Is it Jesus don't know whether Peter is loving Jesus or not? Peter knows that one Jesus loves. That's what when Peter said to Jesus, you know, means Peter also knows that one Jesus Christ knows what is happening in his heart. He did not ask anything. He said, do you love me? A right arrow on the right issue. The problem in Peter is not physically. The problem with Peter, not in the net. The problem in the Peter is not outside, but in the heart. His heart is so distant from him. When he began to love Jesus Christ, his heart can come closer to Jesus. right on the knob. You know, the root cause of sin into the world? Is it not the tree? It is not the fruit? Is it not disobedience? It is the love. If you love me, you will obey my command. The first parents could not love God, and they disobeyed, and they could not follow the commandment. So here, the root cause of the failure in Peter is not anything more than love. So he's asking the same love to return to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ could have asked Simon, son of Jonah, have you made a credible profession of faith? Peter could have answered, yes, I made a great faith confession. Jesus could have inquired, Simon, son of Jonah, do you hold any important office in the church? Yes, Peter would have answered, yes, you made me as an apostle. Christ might have asked Simon, son of Jonah, have you had any extraordinary supernatural experiences from me? Peter could have responded, of course, I have walked on the sea and I have seen your glory. But none of these questions. Only one question, do you love me? I think this question is not as a question. This question is for quest for love. Jesus Christ, question is for quest of love. Thirsty for the love from Peter and all other Jesus Christ. What is stopping Peter from loving Jesus? What is holding back Peter to follow Jesus? What made Peter to deny Jesus Christ? There are three things. Fish, nets are there in the sea. That's his past. He left it back. He left the sea. He left the nets. He left the fishing job. But again, he was there. His past is holding Peter. Second issue is present. His present means six of disciples are with Peter. They are counting Peter. They are following Peter. They are following their leader, Peter. And he is thinking about their lives. He is thinking about their families. He is thinking about their livelihood. So the present worry is stopping Peter from following Jesus. Third thing, his future is worrying him much. Because previously Jesus Christ was with him. He used to feed them. He used to give the fish. He used to give the bread. He used to heal the people. They have everything when Jesus Christ was there with him. But now he knows that one. Jesus Christ has risen. But he knows he will be with him no more. So he is uncertain about his future. Past, present, and future. This timing is grabbing the love from Peter to follow Jesus Christ. Many a times it happens to us. Our past consequences, our present worries, and our future uncertainty makes us to stumble, makes us to stop to follow and love Jesus. Peter might have forgotten the one who controls the present controls the future. Who controls the present controls the past. That's what requires faith. That's what requires love. He tried his past. He tried his present. He tried his future. But only extreme fail. Futility. So Jesus Christ is asking, will you try that or will you try this? Will you try with your past experience? Will you live in your present? Will you think about future? Or will you think about me? Do you love me? Not you. Not your past. Not your companions. Not your friends. Not your family. Not your net. It is me. Love me. Agapao. It is not filio. In these three questions, two times Jesus Christ pointed these two words, agapao. Do you love me? Agapa. A selfless love. In this love, there is no me except him. In this love, there is no expectation of returning something. Unconditional. Unconditional. Without expecting any return. It is only onward. In this one, there is no self. In agape, no self. In agape, no me. In agape, no other thing. No expectation. No return. And putting him always in the first. As Jesus Christ said, especially in the John's Gospel, John is telling, he must be increased, I must be decreased. That is agape. In the agape love, he, not we, or me, or anybody. Are we able to love God without any conditions? Any returns? Any blessings? Any expectations? What would happen if he stopped blessing us? What if he never did anything good for us? What is the ultimate to us by loving Jesus Christ? Is it the blessings from him? Is it the security? Is it the possessions? It is the money? It is our desires? It is our passions? It is our needs? It is our greed? What? Can we pray to Jesus? Lord, you did so much for me. What should I do for you today? The ministry of Jesus wanted from Peter is not purpose-driven. It is love-driven. I love purpose-driven. But rather, Jesus Christ asked from Peter, it is a love-driven church. Not the purpose. Not the programs. Not the plans. Love-driven. Love-driven ministry, love-driven preaching, love-driven actions. When Jesus Christ visited the first church in Book of Revelation, he loved the church of Ephesus. That's what he might visited the church first. They have all the things. They have a lot of actions. They have a lot of programs. They have a lot of purpose. They have a lot of plans for the kingdom of God. They have a lot of plans for Jesus. They have a lot of plans for Jesus' return. They have a lot of things. But Jesus Christ said to them, I have something against you. You have left your first love. You have forsaken the love you had at first. You do not love me now as you did in the beginning. Peter answered, yes, I love you. And you know it. The love is not only an emotion, my dear friends. It is not an feeling. But it is always walks with actions, talks with actions. So Jesus Christ said to him, if you love me, feed my lambs. He's not telling, if you love me, give a hug. If you love me, give an explanation why you denied. If you love me, give me an apology in front of all other disciples. Come, I will take to that old, the young girl who denied. You confess before them. Did he ask? No. He forgotten completely that. He remembers only one thing. And he's telling, feed my lambs. Where are the lambs there? Only sheep, fish are there. Only disciples are there. Can we see the lamb on the beach? They are on the beach. They have a breakfast at the beach. Beach breakfast. And he's asking, if you love me, feed my lambs. Where are the lambs? Where are the sheep? He's telling, feed my lamb. Tend my sheep. Guard my sheep. Where are the sheep and where are the lambs? Thank God. I was in Jesus Christ's list as in my lamb. Thank God I'm in his prayer list while he was praying to his father in the high feastly prayer. He's telling before he said, it is, I'm not only praying for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, world and love for me. He could see me before his death. That's what he prayed to the father. Father, I'm not praying for them alone, but I'm praying for also those who will come through their word. Thank God we are all in his prayer list on the high priestly prayer. He could see me and he could see you even on the day before he's going. This love made Peter grieved and he went. Before he denied, but Peter began to love. The love for Jesus made Peter to stand when everyone is keep quiet when the Holy Spirit is coming. And he could go to the center of the city and he could preach that the one who killed the Messiah, he is the only Savior of the world. There is no salvation under the heaven on the sky except Jesus Christ. He's telling to the religious authorities, you kill him. A denial Peter is telling to the authorities, whom should we obey? It is you or my Lord? Caesar is telling, I am the Lord. Peter is telling, it is not you. Caesar, you are not the Lord. It is Christ the Lord. What made him to say like that? The question, do you love me more than Caesar? More than Caesar? More than your life? So the love for Jesus made him to sleep in the prison without any grumbling. He could happily sleep in the prison and he's happily waiting for his execution. What made him to do so? The love. Love for Jesus, asking Peter to do anything for him. Always, Jim used to ask me, how do you face the persecution? Can you narrate how do you face the persecution? Pastor Jim, this is the only answer. Always this question challenges me. Do you love me more than this? This question makes me to climb the mountain, walking hours with the help of a stick. This question asked me to go, even though earlier notifications that dangers and deaths beating up. This question makes to go ahead. This is the driving force. If anybody asks why you are doing this, we love Jesus than all other things. My dear friends, faith without love is a profession of religion. James said, faith without works, faith without works is dead. But I do say, faith without love is fake. From faith, love springs from it. From faith, love grows. If you only keep the faith without having any love, it is mere a religion, a doctrine, a simple creed. But Christianity is a love. Christianity is not a book religion. Christianity is not a memory, but Christianity is loving God. By loving God, we can love his image. We can love his people. My dear friends, this question is asked by Jesus thousands of years, still validated. Still validated. It is not only the story of Peter, but it is the story of everyone who want to love Jesus Christ. He said, feed my lambs. Where did Peter could get the lambs? What are the characters of lambs? Very strong, mighty, jumping. When Jesus Christ said about the lamb, he used the word arnia, not the probata. Probata is a big sheep. He used lamb, thin, weak, dependent being. Easy to vulnerable, easy to be stamped out. And he said, feed those lambs. Can you see the lamb? Weak, thin, dependent for the grass, depending for the water, depending on others. My dear friends, all over the world, even today, Christ could find millions of lambs in the world. Those who are cannot come out. Those who are cannot live for themselves without somebody's help. Weak, fragile, we can see some of the lambs in India. Did you find any lamb in your community so far? Last week, I appreciate Pastor Jim. He said, when I'm hungry, you gave me food. When I'm naked, you gave me cloth. When I'm in prison, you came and visit me. Then righteous is asking, when you are hungry, when you are naked, when you are in prison, then he said, when you do to the brothers of least of this community, you did it for me. Least lambs, little lambs. My dear friends, this is the validity of Christianity. Not our programs, not our religion. Love. Loving for Jesus. Loving for people. This is the litmus test of God showing and feeding the lamb. Love for Jesus is the central to the Christian faith and for Christian life. Today, church was caught up in a great condition called apathy. It is only me. It is my concern, my cares. But Jesus Christ said to Peter, if you love me, feed my lambs. So let us try to find the lambs for Jesus. And may God bless us to find one, feed them, and make them sheep so they can stand in the presence of the Lord along with us. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Pastor Paul. Faith without love is fake. Shall we stand for a benediction? Now to him who is able to keep you from falling, even though Peter fell, and we often fall, he is able to keep you from falling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great